A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Can you hear me? A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. You put the speaker in the ear. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillah Ahmaduhu wasta'inuhu wasta'dihi wastafirahu. Ashadu la ilaha illahu la sharika lahu wa ashadu anna Muhammada abduhu rasuluhu. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala karil ala musulini Muhammadin wa alihi ajma'in. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, all praise is due to the Lord of all systems of knowledge. All praise is due to Allah. I praise him, I seek his assistance, and I ask for his forgiveness. I seek his guidance, and I ask for his forgiveness. I bear witness there is no God but Allah, the one who has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is his servant and his messenger. All praise due to Allah. We seek Allah's peace and blessings on the best among the prophets, Muhammad, as well as on his family and his companions. Ameen. We seek refuge with Allah from our own weaknesses, faults, and errors. All praise due to Allah who sent down upon his book most clear and later revealed in the last ayat. This day I have completed for you your way of life and completed my blessings and my favor upon you and chose Al-Islam as your way of life. All praise is due to Allah, who united the hearts of the believers with Al-Islam and has made it an obligation to remain united and has made it forbidden to become separated in his clear book. I advise you as well as I advise myself first to have regard, consciousness, reverence, taqwa for Allah the Most High and obey him. Dear Muslim believers, again, I greet you. Assalamu alaikum. Juma Mubarak. Ramadan Mubarak. Alhamdulillah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Kul nazalahu ruhul qudusi min rabbika bil haq. Bilhaki liyuta amanu wa hudin wa bushra lil muslimin salakallahu wadeen. Show your Allah speaks the truth. The translation is as follows. I think I lost my connection. Check and see if you can still hear me on that, because one of them died on me. Can you still hear me? You can't hear me? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me? Inshallah, am I back now?
Yeah.
Okay, all right, alhamdulillah. The translation, the expression is as follows. We say we seek refuge with Allah against the Satan, the curse. Say, the pure spirit has brought it down for your Lord in truth to make firm those who believe and as guidance and good tidings to the Muslims. And we say, Salakallahu ad-Din, surely Allah speaks the truth. This is Surah 16, Al-Nafl, Ayat 102. And today's khutbah title, inshallah, is The Quran is to firm us up. The Quran is to firm us up. Let me go backwards on these hadiths. So I go to this one first. Hadiths. First from Umar ibn al-Kitab, who he reported that we were sitting with the Messenger of Allah, the peace and blessings be upon him, one day, and a man, he cut off again. I don't know why it's cutting off. Can you hear me? Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Can you hear me now? Okay. Well, inshallah, we do it like that. Umar ibn al-Khattab reported that they were sitting with the prophet, and a man appeared with very white clothes and very black hair. And there were no signs of travel on him, and they did not recognize him. And he sat down in front of the prophet, and he rested his knees by his knees, and he placed his hands on his thighs. And the man said, "O Muhammad, tell me about al-Islam." And I'm not going to go through everything that the prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, but he answered him. He said, "Then the man returned, and he left, and I remained. And the prophet said to me, 'O Umar, do you know who he was?' And I said, 'Allah and his messenger know best.' And the prophet replied, he said, 'Verily, he was Jibril who came to teach you your religion.'" Another reported is from Fatima, radiallahu anha. She reported that the prophet, peace be upon him, said, "Gabriel would come to me to revise the Quran once every year. And this year he revised it with me twice. He said, 'I do not think it means anything, but that my term will come to an end.'" So the big hadith that I want to read is reported by Aisha radiallahu anha, and it talks about when the divine revelation would come to Muhammad, the prayer, peace be upon him. She said it was in the form of good dreams, which came like a bright daylight, and then inside of the love of seclusion was bestowed upon him, and he used to go into seclusion in the cave of Hira where he used to worship. Where he used to go and worship and, you know, try to, I would say, worship Allah alone. He did this continuously for many days before his desire to come back to see his family. And he used to take with him, you know, enough food for stay. And then he would come back to Khadija, radiallahu anha, and to take some more food. And then the last time he went, when he went back, she said the truth descended upon him while he was in the cave of Hira. The angel came to him and asked him to read. And the prophet replied, "I do not know how to read." The prophet added, "The angel caught me forcefully and pressed me so that hard that I could not bear it anymore. And then he released me again and he asked me again to read. And I replied, 'I do not know how to read.' Thereupon he caught me again and pressed me for a second time until I could not bear it anymore. Then he released me again and asked me to read. But again I replied, 'I do not know how to read.' Thereupon he caught me for a third time and he pressed me and released me and he said, 'Read in the name of your Lord who created it. Who created man from a clod. Read in your Lord is most gracious.'" And basically he read the first five ayahs in 96. So first let me again greet everybody with Ramadan Mubarak. And we're 10 days in today, alhamdulillah. That is one third of this special month. And it's a big day, you know, to be one third, 10 days in. To be 10 days in. And we look at that and we see that the first 10 days are represented by mercy. And I tend to look at it as, you know, when we look at the mercy of the first 10 days, I always look back at, even though this is not when the Quran was revealed in the first 10 days, during some reports, the first 10 days were, you know, we have to look at the beginning of our Ramadan and what we're going through, the month of Ramadan, and the Quran was revealed through Jibril, or Gabriel, and other scriptures, alayhi salam, and to Muhammad, through him, to Muhammad, the prayers, peace be upon him, the prophet. And as I read in the opening hadith, we know that Muhammad was known to go away from Mecca, to go up into the mountains and retreat and go into the solitude that he was trying to find. Now, this was done for the purpose of giving him much needed energy. You know, that's the best way I can say it. You know, what he was dealing with the idol worships and the circumstances of the times. And I've mentioned that for us, when the month of Ramadan comes, it always comes when it's most needed. You know, it always comes when it's most needed. And what I mean by that is that sometimes you can be like, "Oh, here comes Ramadan. And I ain't, you need it," because when you say, you know, most of the time you're like, you know, "I need to get right." That's bottom line. You know, I need to tighten it up. Right. So because of the fact that the circumstances that we're dealing with, you know, so when Ramadan comes now, here it is. And I believe this is the beauty of our Islamic calendar, which being set to move up every 10 days every year, it doesn't allow what happens at one time of the year to become what we expect during Ramadan, right? So when the transition can't happen in 1975, they were doing it every December, right? So every December they knew they was going to have to deal with this. Now, you know, Ramadan moves up. And for some like myself, I'm still on that first cycle of Ramadan. I haven't gone the full cycle to where the first Ramadan I ever went is I'm doing it again. And I remember I started fasting, I want to say sometime in February. It might even been March. It might have been March. But I remember one of the early fasts that I had that I was going through was a Super Bowl. Pittsburgh and Dallas was in the Super Bowl. Not the Franco Harris Pittsburgh. I ain't that old now. But the Jimmy Johnson, you know, and you know them Cowboys or whatever, you know, but they were in the Super Bowl against Pittsburgh, and I remember having to tell some family members I wasn't coming to watch the Super Bowl because I was going to Masjid al-Rahman on the west side of Chicago for iftar. We were going to be at the Masjid. So, you know, when we look at the calculations, you know, it takes 33 years. From what I understand, from what I've seen, 33 years. Now, we're not open to the general public now, so we got to remember that. It takes 33 years to make full cycle, right? And but it comes in cycles. It still comes in cycles. And we know that whenever the month approaches and arrives, it still has the same significance that when the first things that happened during the month of Ramadan. And it's explained in today's ayahs that Allah starts with the command. He says, Kul, and he says, the pure spirit has come down from your Lord in truth. So he says, Kul, Nazalahu Ruhul Kadusi, right? Min Rabbikum, Rabbika, and in truth, Bilhaqi, right? When we look at it at first, you know, what was brought down? Well, we can be secure in knowing that it is the revelation of Allah that was brought down, right? It was a revelation of Allah because we know it was the first five ayahs that were delivered on the Mount Hira. But we also know from tradition that the whole of the Quran, was given to Jibril from Allah in the month of Ramadan. Though it wasn't revealed that whole time in the month of Ramadan, but it was given. So the complete book was given to him, and he was to do it as he was commanded. When you know, we have this nazala, right? Well, I've talked about this before. Bringing down that's something that has happened. It all means something that's happened. So during this time, something happened, right? And this word nazala in means both down and descend. And this word in this ayat is formed too. So it means it has an intensity. You know, Imam Qasim Ahmed, right, who he said in his book about the 10 forms, he said, form two intensifies the meaning of the verb, making it much stronger. So not only does it mean it came down, but it happened with some authority. So anytime that something happens that, you know, there's a shock value to it, that's intensity. That's what we're talking about here. And why do I bring this up? Because it is just one word in the ayat, and we'll go back to the pure spirit part of the ayat, but as in the expression, but we have to look at the meaning of what Allah is saying to make sure that we understand that, yeah, okay, it says he brought the revelation. So a lot of times when we look at English, we just think brought. We just think that word doesn't have no emphasis. But no, from Allah, this is saying yes, this has emphasis, because this is not something light that was brought, right? So and of course Allah is the best knower. The word ruhu, right, it means spirit, right? And I presented on both these words before, nazala and ruh, right, and ruhu. So but now we're working them together to lay a foundation, right? The spirit is also a kadusi. Like Kadusi, right? And we're speaking of Jibril in this. Alayhi salam to Jibril. This means he had No other motive. There was nothing on his plate or in his mind other than do to fulfill his command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so that's the reason why Qudusi is there, because it says the pure spirit. The pure, because that's what Qudusi means. And we also know when we hear this word Qudusi, we also know that when we hear about the reported hadith of the prophet, he's speaking for Allah, but it's not the Quran, right? So that's called the hadith Qudsi or Qudusi, right? And this means it is pure, spotless, right? And it's also referred to as holy. And Allah has an attribute, El Qudus, right? We have a brother, Imam Qudus, right? But he's not Imam Qudus. He has what he needs to have in front of him. You know, you can't take Allah's name. I'll go into that later. That's not right now. The holy, right? El Qudus. Allah's attribute, El Qudus, the holy. What is being told to us first is that the spirit came down, and the spirit being Jibril, alayhi salam. Yes, this is the meaning in the word. When you look into the word, it says it's just Jibril. But when we go back, when he came down, you know, there's a report that it was such a bright light. It was such a bright light. And, you know, I also think about those, they call them the helicopters with the bright lights. The ghetto birds, that's what they call them. They call them ghetto birds. So they got those bright lights. So you think about what that light might be, and you just times it by a million. Okay, that's how bright and intense. But the point of it is, it's intense. It was so intense, it was brighter. This is why understanding a bit of the grammar is so important. This whole process was very intense, right? Jibril did not appear as a flower blooming over by on the side of the mountain, right? But this was such a strong introduction that it made Muhammad surprised. It made him back. It made him cautious. He didn't know what was going on. And like most of us, if we thought we were somewhere alone, you think you're at home alone and you hear something somewhere inside the house, you know, you're going to be like, hey, what's going on? You're surprised as well. So as I come to this first end of this first part, the spirit that is bringing this down, that is making this happen, is also bringing the truth. So it's not just showing up. It's bringing something that we can recognize. And it is when the prophet was told to make a declaration. So he was, when he came down, he was told to make a declaration. He wasn't just, so he had to be shocked, and he was told to do something. And he responded the best way he could under the circumstances, right? He was told to read in the name of your Lord Creator, and he said, I cannot read, you know, because he's thinking literal, right? He's thinking, I can't read. I don't know what you're asking me to read. But it hasn't clicked yet, right? How many times have we looked at the Arabic in the Quran and said to ourselves, I cannot read? Huh? How many times have you said that, but yet you make your selects? You know, just hold on to that for me, all right? But remember, the Quran was not in the book form, all right? This was not a command to read from a book. This was not a command to read from the book. This is very important. It was a command to declare what was witnessed when we were in the loins of Adam, alayhi salam, that Allah is our creator. All right? Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhabannar. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. The Quran is to firm us up. Come on with me now. So yes, the Quran is what was brought. But the first thing that was told to do, right, was to make the connection with our Creator. We have to make the connection with the Creator. When we look at the ayahs, that's what the ayahs are telling us. Make the connection to your Creator, right? So most humans, they grow up and they know their mother and their father, right? Naturally, as babies, right? You know, now one may coach the baby to say, mama, dad, you know, you're trying to hear that. You're coaching the baby. But the baby already has that comfortability with you to know who you are. And when somebody new comes around, they're a little bit, you know, a little bit hesitant, right? So you have a connection. This is the connection that I'm talking about. Though it's bigger because, you know, but it's our Creator. All right? It's the trust of knowing that these people, especially the mother, we have to understand history. Especially the mother, baby feels safe because it's something inside that baby that gives them the sense that this is true. This is a true feeling. There's nothing wrong. So the opposite of wrong, you know, is right. So if something's right, it's the truth. So it's the feeling of there's nothing wrong here. And it's the same thing that's being told to Muhammad. And it's also being the same thing that's told to us as well. That look around, pay attention. The one who created all of this and created you. Now we have been sent what Allah said he would send, right? This is something that Allah said he would do. Not that it had to be a book, but it had to be something that would spark our intellects. Something that would click with us. Something that would catch our attention. And the only way it could be that is there had to be some truth in it. There had to be something that resonated inside of us because in the truth, we've been created. Allah says, I've created everything in truth. Allah said, the pure spirit has brought it down from your Lord in truth. So even though Muhammad said he could not read, he did not say, what are you talking about? He didn't say, you know, oh man, that's a lie. I don't, you know what you over here lying. He didn't say none of that. He just said, I couldn't read. He didn't dispute what he was being told to read. He just said, I can't read. Because he thought he was doing what we all would have done when we don't know something, we don't understand it. Well, I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about. I can't do that. You may be right, but I can't do that. You can tell me how to put some nails in something. But if I don't know how to do it, I got to say, I don't know how to do it. I'm not saying you're wrong. So the first time he answered, he was grabbed and he was hugged tight, right? It was because he had not yet recognized who his creator was. He had not let that what was naturally inside of him come out to be free. Yes, understanding that we are created by God. And we are to serve God and we only answer to God is a freedom that no chains on our ankles and no chains on our minds could stop. That is the goal for the human being, to come to grips with who Allah really is. So when he answered, he could not read. He was saying, I don't understand. I do not understand. And then think of that first hug, just like that first 10 days during our fast. We came to a complete stop, right? We were going along and everything was normal. It really wasn't normal for me because, when I'm dealing with, okay, we got to sight the moon and everybody else is trying to go early because they want to be on the Hallmark calendar, but it's Ramadan. But we were going along. Everything was normal for what normal is at this time. But then the sighting of the moon, which is prescribed in the practice, and all of a sudden, boom, stop. Stop all that was going on against our original nature. Now is the time to recognize, right? Fasting is for Allah. That means not put all of our, not to do that, don't do anything else but put all of our attention on Allah. Now, I'm not saying that for Muhammad that he was in a bad place. Obviously, he was in a good place because he was searching, he was seeking. But what I'm saying is that he was wanting to be in a better place. That's what he was wanting. And that is when the truth came down by the Spirit and it was pure. It was holy. It was clear. It was something he could recognize. But we also know that ruh, right? The Spirit, it also means revelation. You know, a revelation is one meaning of a revelation is the act of a revealing or communicating divine truth. Right? But also revelations is learning something we didn't know. You know, you can turn on the news today and you're gonna see a revelation. Somebody's got caught up and they're saying, you know, we got a new revelation. Somebody did this or somebody did that. So learning something you did not know is revelation. Something that, you know, and it may, and like I said, it clicks. There's a thing about this is that it's going to click because, yeah, you didn't know. But then all of a sudden it clicks, right? It builds us up. We all, you know, like I said, we've all been told something we didn't know, but when we heard it, we could believe it. We could believe it. One, because it was the truth. You know, it's like, man, I believe that. I believe it. This is how we can look at the revelation coming to us in Ramadan, the month of the Ramadan. If we were wanting better in our lives and we were not aware of how that could happen, when the Spirit came to us, right? The Spirit came to us at some point in time in our lives. We're not here because the Spirit didn't come to us. At some point in time, we were doing something totally different. We weren't at Juma. We were doing something else. Then the Spirit came to us. Right? It was revelation, even though we couldn't understand it. When the beginning of this month came, we go into it with the thought that of what's going to happen. You know, every Ramadan is different. Every Ramadan is different. But how many of us so far, 10 days into it, can look at it and say, I did not think it would be this way? There's some things I've dealt with for my first 10 days that I was like, okay, I didn't know I was going to be dealing with this. I didn't know I was going to deal with that. And they are all bad. I'm just saying that's just the way we have to look at it. So, but now if it's been smooth sailing, you know, no bubbles, no troubles, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. That means, you know, one thing, if it's been smooth sailing and there's been no problems for you during your fast, that means one thing is that nothing has disturbed your fast. Nothing has disturbed your fast. And this doesn't mean that, like I said, in a bad way, but having to deal with something, being tried is a test of your fast. How we've been trying to get our suhoor in, regardless of what your situation is, you should still try to get up and eat in the morning. You know, even if you're eating during the day, you should still try to get up and observe Zuhur. How we've been trying to get our reading in. Everybody knows that during the Ramadan that you do not want to get behind on your reading because that snowball won't go back up that hill. Okay? How do we get through our lives in the day? Dealing with everything. You can't be in the cave. You got to be out to get our iftar in. Then get our nightly salat in while trying to then look up and say, well, I need to try to get some sleep so that I can get right back up in a few hours and start all over again. All of this is testing our fast. Because it should be done with the intention that I'm trying to please Allah and I'm trying to serve Allah, period. If there have been any struggles during these first 10 days, then it is to me, is symbolic of that first hug. Think about that first hug. Those struggles. And we have a tradition of when Jibril came to bring the first five ayahs, that it was the first three hugs, but these hugs were so intense that it almost made Muhammad, the present peace be upon him, it almost made him pass out. He didn't know what else to do. He was ready to give up. And think about how a Ramadan that you might have gone through or going through has got you to the point where you, I just don't know if I'm going to break this fast today. I'm about to pass out. I'm struggling so much to get through the day. And it's going to take a miracle for me to make it to Maghrib. Think about that first hug, that intensity of it. A few days ago, you didn't have to worry about how hungry you were before Maghrib. You didn't have to worry about are you making all your salats, are you getting your reading done? Because you were doing what you wanted to do. Now, and I'm not just speaking to hunger pains, I'm speaking to the pains of life. When I'm speaking of dealing with so much, you look up and you have to keep going. When truth comes from Allah, it can only be pure. It can only feel good. It's free from any faults or issues. This is why even with the pressure of that hug, we can believe in it. Even with the pressure of the hug, we believe in it. This is why what we see in how Muhammad, what he did. Yes, he didn't think he might be under a spell. When he went back home, he thought he might be under a spell. He thought somebody had did something to him. And what bothered him most was the fact that what he saw. It wasn't what he heard, it's about what he saw. Not that he was told He was told to read in the Creator, not that he did not believe that there was a Creator, but he was looking for something. When he was on that mountain, he was looking for something. He was yearning for answers to what was inside of him. And we have to look at ourselves in the same way. The month of Ramadan is for our insides. It's for our insides. They call it that internal strength, right? It's for our intellect. The food, the drink are only rituals. And yes, they have meanings. But if you have to drink or eat, it's still the month of the Ramadan. We all have to come to see that there's truth in this. We have seen and that we cannot find faults in it. There's nothing wrong with Al-Islam. Allah has said he has perfected this. There's nothing wrong with Al-Islam. If you find something wrong in Al-Islam, it's not Al-Islam, it's us. It's you. That's where the problem is. It's pure because when we look at life, that the life that we're trying to live right in, as we see, this is not the easiest thing to do. Not just from our standpoint of our own weaknesses, our own faults and our own errors, but the shaitan is not going to just let you ease on down the road. He's not going to let you ease on down the road of the Mustaqim. Yes, you know, there's a tradition that the nature of the shaitan is locked up at the beginning of Ramadan, right? The whole month. The shaitan is supposed to be locked up. That's a tradition. But that's just for you and your shaitan. Right? I believe that you have the ability to control your own weak natures and lock it up and gain mastery over it, right? This is what the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did. He gained mastery over his. He made it submissive. But the ones who do not control, they will be working, that you do not control, that we don't control, they'll be working harder through others. Right? And Allah says, and they watch you from where you cannot see them. The being able to lock it up is that you can work to control it. That's another point of what Ramadan is. That's another point of that hug. When you feel like, oh man, my shaitan is working today. Well, you're being hugged. You're being hugged. When you're not doing what you're supposed to doing, you be doing, you're being hugged. You have to go back to recognize the Creator. Right? That's why Allah says, I would billahi min shaitan ar-rajim. And it won't be automatic. It won't be easy because, you know, you have a key as well. Sometimes you can unlock your shaitan. Somebody went there with you, you say, well, I'm going to unlock this shaitan, I'm going to deal with it, I'm going to try to repent. You got a key as well. All of these points are to bring us to understand that, yes, the Spirit came with the pure truth to Muhammad on Mount Hira, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But he also brings it to us. This is why I believe it is the first hug in the 10 days that means something to us. It's not just the tradition of it. Listen, brothers and sisters, if we what we're doing doesn't sit well with us, would we not be doing it? If it didn't feel right, we wouldn't be doing it. Or would we be trying to do it? If it didn't feel like, man, this is something that's going to be beneficial for me, so I'm gonna keep struggling to get through it. This is why it has to come down. This is why it has come down in truth. Because it sits well inside of us, right? It sits well inside of what we know in our own programming as the truth, right? Hawk, right? Not just the truth, but the reality, right? They say keep it real. Well, Ramadan keeps it real. There's no more realer than Ramadan. There's nothing, you know, even if you decide I want to fast outside of Ramadan, you still can't make a fast bigger or harder than what Ramadan is. All you're going to do is fast what you do in Ramadan some other time. Or you're going against the practices of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's our inner selves that have the feeling of this, is that this is right. Now, that it doesn't mean that it would, like I said, it click just because we've come to the realization that this is pure and it's clear and it's pure for us. It will click when we get to the point that Allah is trying to take us to. Right? He's trying to take us somewhere. The ayah continues, and I know I took a lot of extra time on the foundation, right? Because it was to get us to the point we need to be. Allah continues in the ayah, he says, to make firm those who believe as a guidance and good tidings to the Muslims. So this liyuthabita, it means to make firm, right? It comes from the root thabata, right? It means to make firm. When the prophet was back home, and I didn't read the whole reporting for the time, but he was so upset that he thought he was crazy, right? How many of us, when we told our family and friends, whoever we were told that we were becoming Muslims and changing our names and giving up pork and we weren't going to drink no more, some of us were worried about that. Some people didn't want to offend their family. That was a word. That was anxiousness, right? That was some word. Some was anxious. But Allah is telling us, and I'm sending down my spirit that is pure, and it is nothing but the recognizable truth to make you firm in that belief. The word also means steadfast. It means to be established. For those who are, and remember, I said Aminu is in here too. So it's for those who are secure enough in what they believe. And I've said this before, that there is no way you can be up here and not say some things over and over again. So if you sit there and say, yeah, you have said that for you, man. Well, Allah says it quite often again in the Quran. There's no way to get a point across. You don't go over the same things. But we have to have had some faith and belief to be able to stand up. And in most cases, stand up in front of a room of people we don't even know and say, there is no God but Allah and Muhammad is his messenger. You had to have some firmness about you to be able to do that. You had the firmness to go and tell Big Mama or your dad or your uncle, well, I'm a Muslim now. There had to be some firmness in you. And I tell you what else had to be some firmness in you to be able to continue do it. Because you know they were against it. Right? Let me move on. That is the firmness that Allah is talking about. Because what he has sent can only be what we need from our point of view. Because Allah already knows this is what we need. He already knows this is what you need. But for us, we have to recognize this is what we need. We have to believe it for ourselves. And listen, it takes the month of Ramadan to do that. If there are some holes in your al-Islam, the month of Ramadan will show it. If there's some issues you need to address in your way of life that don't go smoothly during a month of Ramadan, this month will show it. The purpose of Thabata is, yes, to make us firm, but it's also to establish us. Establish us in what we believe, to make us constant in it. We should not think that just because the spirit came down to Muhammad, that it won't come down to us. And I'm not saying that, yeah, you're going to see, you know, Angel Jibril, and I'm going to show up at your door. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying that if this is the month of the Quran being revealed, what makes us think it's not being revealed again to those who are in our individual, inside of us, our caves that are inside of us, right? In the month of the Ramadan. There's another reported hadith that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is reported to have said that the angel Jibril would come down every night during the Ramadan to go over the Quran with him. We make our salat at night. When we read, we're still reading in night what is considered night. Fajr is the coming of the dawn. And Allah says in the Quran, and I think I got it in here somewhere, but it might be later on. I don't need to reveal it now. So who is not observing this month without the intention of gaining better knowledge of this way of life? Who is not trying to understand what it is we should be doing that the Creator has designed for us? If we're not understanding that each month of the Ramadan has a purpose of bringing something to each of us, then we need to go back to the open hadith where Umar reported that when the man came to Muhammad and he asked him about al-Islam when he left, And the prophet told Umar, he said, verily that was Jibril, who came to teach you your religion. Now I heard Imam Muhammad, I heard him say, explain this. He said, Muhammad was clear in this. Muhammad didn't say he came to teach us the religion. He said he came to teach you your religion. Now, there's a key to this, and this is a whole nother kibbutz, but let me say this. There's a key to this, that our natures can be above the angels. Just remember that. Just remember that, that our natures can be above the angels. We're created to be above the angels. So this dabata, which is in the second form as well, it means that we become stronger, right? We don't just get, it's like the clay. And this is something else that's on my mind. The clay. You know, when the clay gets hard, right, it firms up, it gets hard, right? That's that second form. It was clay, now it's solid, right? The more intense. It means we'll be taught our way of life, means that by means sometimes that we won't perceive. We won't understand how we're being taught, what we're being taught. But what better time to become better in this way of life than in the same month our way of life was given to us in the month of Ramadan? And I'm almost done, so come on with me. When we look at this for our lives and during each and every Ramadan that comes, we know the goal of this is to fulfill what Allah has said that He will do, right? One, you know, He will send guidance to us, right? Allah says, we say, go down from it, all of you, and when guidance comes to you from me, whoever follows my guidance, there will be no fear concerning them, nor will they grieve. What this means to me and my thoughts is that because Allah has said that there will be guidance for the purpose of this month, is to send that guidance that Allah committed to sending when He sent Adam alayhi salam down from the paradise, right? Guidance. Who Dan, right? As guidance, Imam Muhammad said that our prayers to Allah for Imam Muhammad, who left his life on the ninth day of Ramadan, yesterday. He left his life on the ninth day. So we send our prayers, Rally Lion, who may Allah give him the highest station in paradise, be pleased with his actions. He said that guidance comes from the creation of God, and God created things to guide the intelligence of the human being. Read in the name of your Lord who created, right? Our first command was to look around and read the landscape of our lives and come to the realization that the one who created all of this is the one that I need to connect with, right? That's mercy, to be able to understand this is who I need to connect with. You want better finances, you want better everything in your life? Well, you need to find the one that can actually give you that. And Allah is the one who can give you that. That's the mercy. And the glad tidings to the Muslim. And the glad tidings, what Bashara, right? What a Bushra, right? This is Bashara, the good news. But it's also a place we want to get to, right? This is what was created when Muhammad was on the mount. The Bashar was created. The complete human being was created when the revelation of the Quran came to Muhammad on Mount Hira. It was good news for those who have submitted and for those who are still trying to submit. This month is for us to receive this good news. And I'll end with this report of Muhammad, the prayers of peace be upon him. He said that, and Jibril would come to me to revise the Quran once every year. And this year he came to me twice. I do not think it means anything but that my term will come to an end. We have to have this urgency about our lives. Sometimes people think, I think people are waiting for that aha moment, right? Where, when somebody clicked, that's an aha moment, right? Well, every month of Ramadan that you see is an aha moment. Every time you get to the month of Ramadan, that's your aha moment. Because Allah, it's reported that Allah makes who's going to come and who's going to go for the next year to the next Ramadan. He decides that in Ramadan. So if you got back to it, we get back to it in Ramadan, that's our aha moment. That's our aha moment right there. And this is just the first 10 days. Because the next 10 days, another hug. And the last 10 days, another hug. Allahu Alam. Allah is the best knower. We just need to submit ourselves to this way of life and see if we can fully reap the benefits of it. So we need to continue to read, continue to study, and do all that you can do. And do not think that you're alone when you read in the morning. This is what I was going to mention earlier. Do not think you're alone when you read in the morning. If you're in a group or you're alone, you're not alone. Because Allah says that there's benefit in reading the Quran at Fajr. And he also said that the angels listen to those who read the Quran. So you're not alone. My brothers and sisters, Ramadan Mubarak. I thank you for your patience. But this is Ramadan, so I might stretch it. I'm not speaking for nobody else, so don't call my phone. But alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. You know, I could have went into a whole lot more. You know, there's a whole lot of jewels inside of this ayat. But I just chose to try to pull something out of it. But this is why I believe that we should have our ta'leems. You know, we need our ta'leems. We need our study groups. We need to be doing more than just tuning in on Fridays. And I'm not saying you're not. I'm just saying we need to do more collectively. And I've asked and I've expressed, and I know this will come up at the in the meeting next week, but I've asked that those that are interested, we're more than willing to set something up, work with schedules, but I can't be the only one. I'm not going to sit on, you know, calls by myself. I'm not going to do that. I'll just continue studying by myself as I've been doing. But we need to get into more depth of some of these subjects. And then, of course, we need to get into more depth of the Quran, the more observed practice of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, alhamdulillah, the month of the Quran is the month of Ramadan is the month of the Quran. And the Quran is to firm us up. Now, inshallah, I have given something a benefit today, which all praise is due to Allah. And if any errors, of course, I'm responsible for. I got any Lord and I heard deviant thou was God at us, but grant mercy on us, thou that grant the bounty without measure. I mean.